Welcome in to the Marvel Stuff Podcast. Like we do every single week, we start off by telling you why our internet sucks and why we are posting a day later than we wanted to.
A couple days later. Yeah, we initially tried to record this on Wednesday night and Thursday night, and it didn't go well. So sorry for the delayed episode, but Coach got new internet, and so far so good. Everything seems to be working like it's supposed to, so... We're pumped. We're pumped to talk Secret Invasion and Kraven trailer, of course.
Yeah. Let's do it. Let's start with Secret Invasion. We'll just bump right into it. This is a Marvel style podcast.
Indeed.
Which is a more compelling conversation than the internet.
Indeed.
Secret Invasion is it's a show, I think, for sure. It doesn't have quite the oomph behind it.
My exact reaction as soon as I finished the first episode, I was like, this show has potential more than I'm excited for this first episode. Because the first episode was decent. You gotta give them some room to do the intro nonsense that every show has to do. They had a couple of like major occurrences that we're going to talk about. Yep. I will say that while watching the beginning credits, I was like, oh, Colby Smulders isn't listed, she's dead. Martin Freeman isn't listed, he's dead. Those things happen.
Yeah, obviously spoilers. Yep. They always are, so you should be used to it by now.
Says spoilers across the bottom.
I mean, I think there's like, in some reason, it feels like we're at like this point in Marvel where if it's not an absolute banger, just jumping off the page, everyone just goes, meh.
Yeah, it really does. I mean, we can't just put it on Marvel, though. I think it's overall, like, everyone talks about this maybe impending superhero fatigue, and I really think it, like, the broader audience is starting to feel that a little bit. I mean, it's always kind of been there, but it doesn't it feel like there hasn't been very many superhero blockbusters that kind of, like, break the doors down? It's more like been a lot of pretty average. I mean, there's also the pandemic to consider. But at the same time, that was 3 years ago at this point. Whoever's coming back to the movies has pretty much already come back to the movies, and the number has clearly dwindled. So, I mean, I don't know. I don't think the show reaction is going to be much different. It's just kind of like, eh. Because the shows were already, like, considered a B-tier to the movies in the MCU.
Yeah.
And now we're hitting characters that a lot of people don't super care for. I mean, Nick Fury's the draw on this one. I like Nick Fury. I think he's an interesting character. Where's his outfit? Where's his shield? Where's his mutant powers? He's just kind of like an old man.
Yep. It's interesting because as a regular show, it would be an interesting idea.
Right? Exactly.
We're a crime show about aliens that can morph.
It felt like a spy show. Like, I was like, this is kind of cool. That's why I was excited for the potential. Because I'm like, if they truly lean into that angle where it's like very much a spy show as opposed to like action MCUE. Obviously there's going to be some stuff that includes that, but if it dedicates itself to being a slower paced but intriguing plot, I mean, it might not be for everyone, but I think it's a good change of pace and I would be on board for that. But I mean, who's to say that that's what ends up happening. So
right. Let's start at the plot. First of all, and it's, you know, it's not really Secret Invasion, not really, you know what I mean, from the comics. It's not
right.
Really that
yeah. No. But it
so we're not gonna talk about that. We're gonna talk about what it is. So yes. As a plot, there's a core like group of rebel Skrulls who seem to be unhappy that they can't find a new planet, so now they're going to
The show brings relevance to Captain Marvel, which may have something to do with it not being the most popular show. We'll see.
But, I mean, instead of it being like a... It doesn't seem like it's some sort of worldwide pandemic of Skrulls. It's like a very... It's a small group of rebels, and they have a dangerous bomb in this first episode. Right? But it's not like normal Secret Invasion, where it's like, oh, the entire world's about to be taken over by Skrulls. It doesn't seem like that's...
I mean, it is implying that there's a couple of world leaders that may or may not be Skrulls. That's why we got like the manic man with the tinfoil hat to kick off this whole episode where he was trying to convince Martin Freeman's character, though, like, hey, man, like they're here. I know what their plan is. And he's kind of breaking down. He goes a little crazy. So I don't know how much of that was the character that, you know, clearly died pretty quickly, but I don't know if he was supposed to be a crazy character or if he was onto something. So we're
I'm just saying it feels more like there's a few hundred Skrulls spread out instead of like 2 million of the people on Earth are Skrulls.
Touched on that a little bit. They're like, there's a couple, I think they said like a couple thousand were confirmed on Earth, right? They said it right in the episode, but it's been about a week now, but it was pretty low number. And then when you take into account like the radicals of that group, it's a relatively small group that we're dealing with here.
But still there. So it reminds me a little bit more of the Falcon and Winter Soldier show where there's one rebel group.
It feels familiar. Gotta stop them. That was one thing I noticed too, where I was like, this Skrull group feels a lot like the Carly group from Falcon Winter Soldier.
Yeah. Which who knows what they were called, but yeah, you're right. That's exactly what it feels like. It feels like that group.
Red flags. Flagstaffers.
And they're doing the same thing every show does. They got a secret base and it's abandoned, but there's kids playing soccer because every kid in every secret base is playing soccer at all times.
Obviously. Okay, but you need to acknowledge that it wasn't in America, and outside of America, soccer is the biggest sport.
I don't know. Play some cricket or something. Kick the can. I don't know. It's very cliche, but it's fine. So the plot itself, it's interesting enough. They got to stop this group of insurrectionists from doing something bad to someone somewhere. But most of it's about the fact that Nick Fury is rusty, behind, slow. Like, he came back, but he's not quite ready. It's sort of what
I'm intrigued to find out, like, what he was doing on Saber. Like, are we going to find that stuff out? Are they saving that for Secret Wars, where we get more of an idea of what he was doing up there? Because this really kicks off with, like, he returned. Here's the mission that he returned for. It really almost makes no mention to him being gone for however long, other than the fact that he's rusty.
I guess I'm curious what Saber is. I'm not curious what he was doing. The show sort of implies that he was sort of just hiding from the fact that he failed in Infinity War.
Yeah, right. Fair enough.
Like
he's sort of because he had like the weird flashback to being ashed.
Yeah, ash. That's a good way to put it. So, I mean, it seems like he took the law. He went very fat Thor. It sort of seems like right. He
a little bit, yeah. They gave him a big gray beard for a reason. Took away the eye patch. Samuel Jackson hasn't gotten any younger. He still looks great for how old he is, but he's definitely older than 2012, so or 2018, whenever Infinity War was.
I guess, part of me can't decide how I feel about it, because I think the thing about Nick Fury that makes Nick Fury so cool is the fact that he's always three steps ahead. And Marie Hill makes a mention of that in this episode. But he's no longer three steps ahead.
Right.
So, like, all of his badassery, right, is now gone. So it's sort of like watching a John Wick movie, but he no longer can shoot a gun.
Old Man Fury. That's kind of what we're going with here. And that this storyline has gotten more and more popular, both in comic books, podcasts, just media in general. It's like the return to what they used to do, and they're not the same anymore. And you know, it's a trope that's been done a million times. But
I don't know that I love
it. Nick Fury is an interesting one to hit on.
It just, yeah, I mean, I like to see Nick Fury outsmarting everyone. And I feel like this show, he's not going to get a lot of chance to do it.
He's going because to. I think this first one's like throwing a little bit of shade out. I'm like, oh, he's out of practice. And that's why, you know, Maria Hill gave him crap for it. But I think give him another episode and a half, you'll realize that he had some stuff put in place.
That's what I'm hoping for. I'm hoping
there's a payoff.
He like has already had secret things, but the problem is like, how do we follow him, but also keep it a mystery to the audience? Right.
Unreliable narrator. I mean, that's a trope of it's easier to do in books than it is to do in a TV show. But at the same time, it's more like, I mean, we're not omnipotent as the viewer, which is kind of, you know, you have to make that educated decision on what point of view they're going to go from in this show. Right. And you're very much, first person, not sure what's going on. We're kind of in Fury's mind in a way, but we have no context as to what he's been through recently. So it's not omnipotent.
I guess I think you're right. But I hate to do this. I hate to like say what I need a show to be for me to like it. But if there's not like a moment where it's like, oh, flashback, here's me actually like setting up I already knew this was coming. I, you know, I had a spy inside the Skrulls the whole time or something. I need it. I need to have like some sort of like, oh, he's sort of been ahead of the game the whole time. We just didn't know he was.
Isn't it kind of fun that there might be like a big reveal at the end where like they save it a few episodes where he looks like he's just kind of like lollygagging around, running into trash cans and different obstacles, and it seems like he's really out of practice and he's gonna lose, and then they save it till the, you know, penultimate episode.
Oh yeah, I don't care if it's I don't care if it's until the end. Yeah. Okay, I just need like I hope there's something cool.
I'd be surprised if they didn't.
I'm hoping it's something cool, like jokes on you. I actually had a spy inside of the Skrulls the whole time or something. You know what I mean? I keep having this my ultimate dream is that there's a human who's inside the Skrulls who just never transforms, but they don't catch it. So it's actually just
that would be fun. There's no way though. Although Emilia Clarke's character is not turned
into never transforms.
But at the same time, she very much acknowledges that the Skrull is her dad. So
yeah, that's true.
Kind of weird.
No, she's definitely.
Speaking of which, though, how did you feel about her character? Because I mean, maybe it's just because, you know, I'm biased because I love her in Game of Thrones, but like I really, really want to see more of her in the show. She's great.
No, dug it. That was, yeah, I think she's the best part of the show, I think.
Yeah, so far, the most intriguing, for sure.
I think it's an interesting...
Well, I love the way they left it at the end, where it seemed like she was on their side, and then her info was either inaccurate, or she was choosing to side with the Skrull Rebels. It neither confirmed nor denied at the end of the episode, so it's definitely cool stuff. I'm excited to see that character, because characters that play the fence are always very interesting to have. They're like a wild card in the plot of the show.
I mean, I got to imagine she'll do what they... I mean, in the end, when it matters most. I
think so. But at the same time, I mean, she probably is pretty frustrated that 30 years ago they were promised land by Fury and Captain Marvel, and at this point it hasn't happened. So,
You know what? It's not that easy to find a whole planet, all right?
I agree. No, I'm with you. I'm not saying she's, you know, right in her thinking, but at the same time, 30 years is a long time. Might be upset.
Yeah, I think she's interesting. I think she'll be cool. It's weird that she didn't transform at least once, just for like a second, just to like, whatever.
Yeah, but if you have a face like Emilia Clarke's in a show, are you really going to turn into her like a green monster? It's kind of just, no. You keep her as Daenerys as much as possible.
Was there ever a single moment at any point in the show where someone was a Skrull that you didn't immediately know, oh, that's a Skrull? Because at least in this first episode, every time it was someone, I was like, definitely a Skrull.
Yeah. I mean, Martin, it's hard to, like, if you watch just the intro of Martin Freeman's character where he's just walking through a tunnel, I'm like, I have no reason to think he's a Skrull.
That's true.
But like, then once he got in the room, he gets, like, weird about the room. Yeah, then I knew, which, fine.
Yeah, that's true. The painter, I thought it was pretty obvious or whatever, but I thought he was cool. Yep. I thought he was interesting.
I did like that painter. I got a feeling he's going to be one of those, like, guest characters in other shows or mediums. He just feels like he has that type of gravitas, maybe. I mean, he's dead,
so.
But someone like him, kind of like an art. Well,
his human counterpart, maybe. I don't know.
Right.
Yeah, he's fine. I think, yeah, Fury is good. The main villain seems pretty lame.
Super Skrull. Yeah. Not a great get for these guys. But also, if you're doing a Skrull show, you kind of have to do the top dog. He's a Fantastic Four villain, so, I mean, let's not write off the opportunity No, you're right. 100%. He was lame. He's like ultra-powered and such, so I don't know. I mean, he could be an interesting villain by the end. I would love some Fantastic Four Easter eggs, and you know they're going to, so it'll be cool.
Yeah, that would be nice. I mean, it'd be a good payoff for the show. The show might need it. Maria Hill. It was interesting to have her for an episode.
It's interesting to kill her in the first episode. I mean, she's always kind of been Fury's wing woman. And I mean, Maria Hill's a very interesting character because she's a constant within the comics and video games and stuff, but she's rarely like important. And that's kind of what like she was hired, Colby Smulders was hired to do, and she played that role perfectly, but it's almost like you almost wish you could have seen a little bit more from her, because I mean, I love her as an actress specifically because of How I Met Your Mother, and I would have been intrigued to see her kind of chew the scene a little bit more. She did get her, she did get some highlights in this one where they did the chess match with Nick Fury. That was pretty good, but
yeah, cool little world building that they always do chess matches and they're honest with each other. I think that's fun. Yeah. So I think overall, her, I think she had enough time when I first saw her in the MCU, like in Avengers, like I never thought she'd get as much screen time as she has going forward. To be honest, I thought like she'd maybe be just in that movie. So
yeah, I mean, overall, she's fine. And it, RIP, it's a bummer, but also it's, you know, it's whatever. It would have been something because she's clearly like in, I'm thinking specifically of Marvel Ultimate Alliance 2, she is the Nick Fury role because Nick Fury's missing. So they very well could have done a cool little side story, but that's gone too deep in the bag probably. So what they did with the character was fine. A lot, some people were shocked. Were you shocked to see her dead or get killed?
No, because I just, like, what are you going to do? Then it becomes a her and Nick Fury show the whole time. And I don't think they wanted to do that.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, the fact that she wasn't in that credit role at the beginning, I was like, oh, yeah. Well, good knowing you, Robin.
Super dead. The episode's fine. I mean, Nick Fury takes an L at the end. Doesn't seem like anything big has happened. Like, the plot, like, just sort of is starting. Like.
Yep.
If anything, all the plot we learned in the first episode is over by the end of the episode, except for the Nick Fury character building stuff.
I like the fact that the Skrulls live in radioactive like wasteland because humans can't live there. I was like, that's a pretty smart way to write it. Like that would be a lot of land just kind of left uninhabited or uninhabitable to where they thought, and then it's a good base for them.
Yeah, the world building is nice. I think the episode did a good job building off.
Like, what did you think of the? Was she Russian? No, she wasn't Russian. She's English. The weird, like, kind of strange lady that Nick Fury clearly had a history with. I'm trying to remember what nationality she was, but she had the English, office. Right? Was it English? Yeah, and then he put the camera on the owl's eye. I like her.
Was her name Sophia?
I don't know why I like her. I like her. I'm actually like, I wonder where this is going.
No, I do dig this idea of like,
you guys have watched Pennyworth, the DC show. It's kind of like that.
It sounds like it feels like there's going to be a point where she double crosses Nick Fury, but psych, I actually triple crossed you.
Yep.
And
turns out she's a Skrull. Wouldn't be surprised.
Turns out she's a Skrull, but there's actually, he found the real her somewhere else or something. You know, something like that.
Yeah, there's going to be plenty of that.
Which I think is interesting. As I said, this isn't my favorite like single episode of a show of all time, but like,
the intro never is. You kind of, it's,
I loved WandaVision's first episode.
WandaVision's first episode, people hated because it didn't give any context. It was just like, here's an episode of a 60s sitcom.
Yeah, you're true. That's true. It was definitely a good
point. I love it. It's not most people's favorite episode of WandaVision.
No, to me, it feels the most like Falcon Winter Soldier. And I think that's a good thing. It's a show I liked a lot. So,
yep.
Let's move on to something else that's pretty cool. And like we've talked about Kraven before in his glory on the PlayStation. And now
that character is definitely having a renaissance as far as like appearances in media. It's just it's very much Sony's decision. They're like, ooh, we own the Spider-Man games and the Spider-Man movies. Why don't we kind of try and make this interesting? And match
they
him
did
up
the
in the same
thing with Miles. They did the same thing with Miles. It's so weird. Yeah. Everything about Sony, it's a little bit weird to me, but that's okay.
I'm also down for it, though. Yeah. So I guess we'll talk about the trailer and then I guess what we think about what the movie is going to be. But the trailer itself was sick. It was a highlight reel of just brutal kills, and I'm really excited that it's rated R. The bear trap kill was a particular favorite of mine. That was cool.
Yeah, I mean, as is often the case, these Sony trailers are pretty good.
That's true.
I thought even the Morbius-like trailer looked okay. But I like the actor. I like everything that's going on.
Aaron Taylor Johnson's on a hot streak, dude. I don't know if he would have. But, I mean, they filmed this a while ago, so maybe it was while he was filming other things. But he's a rising star in a way. I mean, he's been famous for a long time. But he's getting a bunch of roles in a row. It very much feels like the Kang.
Yeah,
actor's name. Jonathan Majors. Thank you. It feels like his type of thing where he like Aaron Taylor Johnson just did Bullet Train and a couple of other like pretty intense projects that people liked.
I'm excited for it. I mean, yeah, obviously you accept. The trailer itself is cool. It shows a lot of like, it's very brooding. It's very like, it's very traditional macho dude, which like I'm all for.
How do you feel about Russell Crowe playing his third superhero?
Is he a superhero in this?
He's not a superhero himself, but he's like a father figure because he was, you know, Zeus. He was also Jor-El, and now he's here.
I like it as like because he's often like the dad figure.
Yeah,
in one way or another. He's very much. But I love that he's like going full heel. But that he's like,
he's a heel.
I was the worst dad ever.
Mm-hmm.
I hated everybody, hated everything. But he still has that soft sort of Russell Crowe voice, so I dig it. I'm excited to see it. I hope it's not too much of the movie, you know. I hope the intro is less than 25 minutes. Well,
the concept of this, it sounds like, is him dismantling his dad's hunting organization, underground stuff. That's what a lot of this movie is going to be. So I don't know. I don't know how much Russell Crowe will be in it. We'll see.
Yeah, probably a lot, actually. Yeah, if you say it that way, you're right. It does seem like that's what the movie's about. So
he's the villain. I mean, there's going to be other ones. I guess I didn't realize till I read an article on IGN that Chameleon's actually Kraven's brother now. I think that's something they made for this movie, but that's going to be that's super interesting. What else did you want to highlight in this trailer? Because there's stuff I want to talk about with like what they did with the character for this movie, but we should probably finish talking about the trailer itself first.
I thought the look, I think his look is cool. It's clean. Ooh, it's like, it's not so... It's not the comic book look. It's not the big giant puppy. Well, you but can't do
exactly, but they it's did a nice, it pretty close. Yeah,
it's a nice clean mane. I like the look.
Me too. I like it a lot.
Yeah. So the movie itself, I'm excited about though. I mean, this movie looks fun.
Me too. But the so I don't have it in front of me, but there was an IGN article where they're kind of talking about, should Kraven have just stayed a villain? And that's something I've kind of been tossing with myself the last couple of Sony Marvel movies. It's giving some of these characters redeemable qualities that aren't necessarily supposed to. Like Kraven is driven to like dismantle his dad's organization. He's got like a sensitive side, it seems. He's not afraid to kill people if it's right, but Kraven in the comics is very much like, apparently he was an old soldier from World War II, found a way to kind of make himself immortal, and he wanted to, well, not immortal, but hard to kill. And he just wanted to make himself into like the greatest hunter of all time. And that's his main driving force. And he sees Spider-Man as his arch nemesis, and that's the character. So we're adding these layers to a character that's relatively popular and turning him into an anti-hero when he, I don't know, does he have what it takes to be an anti-hero? I guess Sony consciously separated Venom and Spider-Man for quite a while, like through a couple decades. They had Venom doing his own thing here and there, and then they would just have occasional crossovers. But Kraven has made almost no appearances other than fighting Spider-Man and the occasional Black Panther or whatever.
So I'll say two things. Number one, this movie could be really good and he could be an interesting anti-hero.
I agree.
But more so than that, I want a studio just one time to just nut up and make a movie about a villain.
Yeah.
Like, this could be a really interesting movie if it was just like, he's just a bad dude.
Yeah.
Like,
I would love that. I get that they're trying to sell tickets and they want their main character to be redeemable, but it's like, you don't have to do that. I mean, I loved Joker, and that was very much a villain story, but he was more of like a
sad villain story.
Sad villain story. But even that would be better. I don't know, this weird kind of anti-hero angle, it's making him semi-hero-esque. I don't know. Kraven's just a villain to me, so it's going to be weird seeing him in a different context.
No, I think you could literally one day make a movie. I think this would sell. I think it would sell a ton. They would do it in anime. They've done it in animated things.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Like if you just had a movie that was called Kraven and he flat out killed Spider-Man, right? It's like an alternate universe. He hunted down. He killed this hero.
It's a one-off. That's the problem is.
I know.
I said this in a previous episode that Kraven's last hunt is the iconic storyline that everybody wants to see. But spoiler alert, Grayman dies at the end of it, and that's a very important pillar of the storyline. So here we are trying to make a Kraven movie without doing the coolest Kraven thing.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, it's Kraven, okay? I don't need a Kraven franchise.
Why don't we have a Spider-Man movie where Kraven is the villain? That's what we need. We don't need... Yes, Sony, exactly. They're trying so hard to make a unit like a Spider-Man universe without Spider-Man. And it's to some marginal success with Venom. And they're like, we should do this with all of the Sinister Six. And I was like, no, please don't.
No,
figure out how to use a different Spider-Man in your movie. Like, get Andrew Garfield back, get Tobey Maguire back, cast Miles if you have the right.
That would be a better movie to me.
Yeah,
that'd be a better
100%.
This could be a 100%. Fun movie, great. But if you just like brought Andrew Garfield back and you were like, Kraven's last hunt,
he's gonna fight 1v1. Kraven. Yeah, that's wouldn't that be epic. Like The Amazing Spider-Man 3? Boom, there's your movie right there, Kraven. But no, they want to like keep these characters around and give each of them three subpar movies. And there's going to be a giant crossover where the Sinister Six fight the air because they still don't have Spider-Man. So what are they even building up to?
Well, that's the thing. Are you going to build them up to then be the villains? Like, I don't understand the logic.
Nope. Makes no sense. And making them all anti-heroes is like, what? So everyone's kind of just indifferent staring at each other? What are we doing here? Like, there's no conflict at that point.
Yeah, you would be better off making an epic Kraven's Last Hunt movie. Everyone loved it. It's great. And then just revisiting it in 10 years.
Listen, to our listeners out there, even if you're not a big comic book fan, they did an audio version of Kraven's Last Hunt. And you can get it through like the Hoopla app. It's on Audible. Highly, highly recommend because it's like a stupid, dope story. I absolutely loved every second of it. And if they, or just read the comic book if you want to go about it that way. But straight up.
Fuck reading is for nerds, so don't do that.
Okay, yeah, that's
do the audiobook.
I've done both, but the audiobook is fantastic. And you'll realize how awesome it would be if they translated it to a live action movie. And yet they're choosing to do like a made up story and change the character to an almost unrecognizable, aside from physically, because physically they're identical. But outside of like physically, it just doesn't feel like Kraven anymore. And they're making a new character.
It sounds like a cool movie, though. I mean, I do think this movie could be cool because I like the idea of someone who has animal-like hunting powers. It's kind of interesting.
Yeah, his new origin story of like being affected by lion's blood. It was like, okay, I mean, it's sure. Like,
yeah, definitely different. Definitely not who Kraven is, but like, no, it could be an interesting movie.
I like how the dad's just like, leave him, he's weak. I was like, I'm into that. That was cool. That would trigger a revenge story, that's for sure.
That's what I do to my son every time he cries. I say, that's it. Just leave him there. He's weak.
Needs to build him. Yeah, but he's not bleeding out from a lion bite, in fairness.
He's 5 days old. He can't feed himself. What is he even doing here? You know what I mean?
So, right.
Like you said, it doesn't seem like this is a Kraven movie, but it does seem cool. So, like, I'm excited to watch
that. I feel like I'm poo-pooing on it a little bit in this episode, but when it boils down to, like, this is the most excited I've been for a Sony Marvel movie outside of the animated franchise. Love when superhero movies finally, they're just like, we're going to be like Logan. We're going to do The Boys. We're going to do gore, rated R. And it's going to be sweet. Like Watchmen, dark storylines are my favorite. So when you have like ultra violence and stuff, I'm like, this is pretty sweet. I want to see how this translates. And Kraven's a perfect character to finally draw that line. Yeah, I would argue that they should have done it with Venom 2, with Carnage being a serial killer. But I've made that point before. Kraven's going to be a cool one.
Yeah, Carnage. Sort of bone. I got a feeling this will be like slightly better than Venom. I'm gonna guess.
Slightly better than Venom would make it the best movie in their franchise, though. So
yeah, it's fine. Like it's fine.
It's gonna do terrible at the box office. You can just turn to the DC side of the fence right now, where everybody's dogging on Flash, even though it was like an okay movie. It wasn't amazing, but it was pretty decent. But it's absolutely getting destroyed at the box office because people feel like it doesn't count for anything because it's the end of a franchise. And they have a track record of doing not great movies within this DCEU. And that's exactly what Sony just had, like the ultimate bomb of Morbius. It was awful. They lost so much money and then they re-released it because of an internet meme and then lost more money.
It's so good.
Yeah, it's hilarious. But at the same time, it's like you've got three movies and one and a half of them are good. Are people really going to go out to the movies after all this time to go watch Kraven the Hunter? Probably not, because no one knows who that is. Unless you're a comic book fan or a Spider-Man fan, you don't know.
That's a good point. That's such a good point. Yeah, we're definitely at the point now where, like, you've got to move the needle. Like, Into the Spider-Verse is doing well because it's phenomenal. It has great word of mouth.
So good.
And so it gets people going.
Yeah.
You can't just be a superhero movie anymore. Like, they used to be enough. I'm a superhero movie. We're Venom.
Very good point. Very good.
That's enough. Roll it out.
You used to be able to, like, all right, well, here's Ghost Rider. And I was like, oh, cool. Comic book movie about a guy with a flaming skull. Like, that's a draw.
Yeah.
And then it was like subpar, but people still liked the first one. They're like, hey, cool. Let's make another one. Like, it was successful enough. But, like, if you were re-released Ghost Rider now, no one would care.
Super generic. No one would care. Like, yeah, basic story. And, like, that's the thing. Kraven will probably be, like, a slightly good movie, but...
Is it going to lead to anything?
For me to convince my friend, like, this is the superhero movie to watch when there's 15 superhero
movies. It's impossible for you to. You can't. I can't recommend it. My uncle was like, should I go see The Flash? I'm like, I think you might enjoy it. You liked Keaton Batman. But I was like, you would like Across the Spider-Verse more. He still went and saw Flash. And then he's like, I hated that movie. I'm like, told you to watch The Flash, bro. Or, yeah.
Told you to watch Spider-Man, man. Exactly right. That's the same for me, right? Everyone, my wife and I told my wife, I was like, yeah, Spider-Verse, watch Spider-Verse. Like, don't go watch Flash. You don't really need to go back and watch Guardians, even though I like Guardians. Like, if you're going to watch something, this is the one I'll recommend. And I just don't think Kraven's going to be that.
I don't know if this is ever going to stop. It feels like an ongoing cycle of marginal hype for an okay movie. And it's just so many superhero movies. And that's me speaking as a comic book fan. And I'm like, why does this one exist?
I don't care.
Why does this one exist?
I don't care. For me personally, as a fan, I'm going to watch Kraven. I will be like, I kind of enjoyed that. Even Morbius, like, I was like, God, it's boring. I was like, I'm glad I went.
Yeah.
Exactly. I'm going to feel that way most of the time.
Yes. But we're not the demographic they're looking for, though. Because they already got us in the bag. They already got us in their pocket. They're looking to expand, and which is what makes it suffer, is they're making superhero movies more and more generic to apply to a broader audience, and then the broader audience doesn't care anymore because they keep making bland movies.
There's a subset of people who are going to watch two movies a year.
Yes.
And like,
Kraven the Hunter is not one of them.
It's
never going to happen. They're going to go watch Oppenheimer. And almost.
Yeah, exactly. They're going to watch Oppenheimer and Mission Impossible, probably.
Or like Indiana Jones 7.
Yeah, that's true. People are going to, that seems like that's going to make money. Who knows?
Getting poor ratings. Anyway.
It's interesting that I definitely came onto this thing and like, oh, I'm going to be hyped about Kraven because I like the trailer. I did like the trailer.
Yeah.
But when I really think about it.
We're in a world where everything just seems to be.
I feel the same way about Secret Invasion, though. Where it's like, I like this show.
The printer's running
out of Marvel show.
That's what it is. The printer is running out of ink. The colors are starting to fade. Nothing's as vibrant anymore. We get the occasional like, ooh, they switched the cartridge. Here's Across the Spider-Verse. And then it immediately runs out of ink again.
Yeah. But I like it. I personally am going to like it. Yeah. So that's all.
We're superhero fans. We're gonna go ahead and watch it, and we're probably gonna like this movie. But someone's gotta like talk for
But them. Even our I'm audience. Even yeah. our audience, I feel like there's a good 20% of our audience who's not going to watch Kraven.
No, you're 1,000% right. Yeah, we can. I mean, we get to see our numbers. And depending on whose movie it is, we could see how good our podcasts are doing. It's just like
we can see the difference between.
Yeah, there's a reason we're not doing theme weeks for Morbius because no one cares.
No one cares. Yep, this is true. Spider-Verse, though, you guys like it.
Yeah. You guys like those. Keep sharing those episodes with your friends. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's pretty much all I got to say. I mean, I'm Secret Invasion. It's hard to talk about too much because we just don't know enough yet. Like I said, the plot sort of
circled itself in one episode. Intro. It didn't grab me, but I'm going to come back next week with a clean slate. And this didn't turn me off to the show. Maybe that's the best way to put it. Maybe you could, as an audience member, I mean, you probably wouldn't have listened through this far if you didn't watch it yet, but watch, wait till the second episode comes out. Watch two episodes in a row. Maybe that's what you could do.
I was thinking that while I was watching. I was like, you guys should have done two episodes. They should have done a double release. It's whatever. Yeah. I was going to mention, what do you think of the fact that Comic-Con Marvel's just not going to...
Oh yeah, Comic-Con getting dunked on because everybody's not going. Warner Brothers, DC, Marvel, yeah. I think Sony as well. Like, none of them are going to Comic-Con, so what's the point in doing Comic-Con? That being said, if you guys can get us some free passes to Comic-Con, I wouldn't be upset. Because I'd definitely go. And then people might show up to meet the host of the Marvel Stuff podcast, but we might be the only Marvel-related.
We might be the largest draw going.
Us and Kevin Smith will just do podcasts.
Yeah, he'd probably jump on. It's an interesting dynamic because it feels similar to me of like the whole the streaming wars thing where it's like everything used to just be like on Netflix and then now it's on everything. And that's the same way I feel about these, like, you know, you got D23, Warner Bros. Has its own thing. And
what's happening in the gaming community too. I mean, not to get like too far off our audience, but they canceled E3 this year and separated it into PlayStation Showcase and Xbox Showcase. They did Summer Game Fest. They did a Nintendo, whatever they call it, Nintendo Fest, whatever. They just did that. Like, we had like five game related festival like streaming things in a row instead of them just choosing, because they don't want to pay to go be part of the big dance. They got to pay a lot of money to go to Comic-Con when they could just use their own devices to make more money and get it out to the same amount of people. Like, you can just look at the trailers that get watched from a Comic-Con and there's like millions of views on YouTube and it's on their YouTube channel. So like, do a stream on your own YouTube channel and then release the trailer. You don't need this other party involved at all. And
for a business standpoint, it definitely makes so much sense. But it doesn't mean that the audience, don't hate it.
Oh, I agree, because it's like it's taking away our fun time of getting to go hang out with a bunch of nerds.
And I just like when it's like a big, like, I don't like when it's spread out. I liked when the video games were like,
me too.
This is E3.
Boom,
this will be a big, long,
bunch of announcements.
Four-day weekend, and it's going to be epic.
Like, yeah, but now it's just like, oh, okay, well, everybody has like two or three really good games, and the rest are just like, here's some stuff from our devs and our unimportant games. And that's 15 minutes of our 45-minute stream. I'm like, I don't care about these. So why are we showing it? Yeah. A little bit off track, but that's kind of what's happening with movies.
Just an interesting little thing about Comic-Con, which is fine. I did see a bunch of people, good, make it more about comic books. Well, you know what? They buy comic books. If you want things.
I'm part of the majority. They're the minority, excuse me, where that still buys comic books. There's not very many of us left.
You want more comic book stuff, go out and buy comic books. Convince your friends to do it. It is what it is. All right. Well, this was fun. Look forward to hopefully getting... It seems like the internet worked, so hopefully...
Yeah, we go, had no issues here, so that's good news. Back to business. Obviously, me having a kid and Coach having two kids, our release schedule is semi-inconsistent, but we're still shooting for the once-a-week thing.
Still once-a-week, for sure.
And we're still going on Secret Invasion is kind of going to be the theme for the next few weeks, because that's the new Marvel content. But then we'll get back to our other nonsense that you guys seem to enjoy so much, and it'll be a great time.
Nonsense. Poopy pants. All right. Well, thank you guys for joining us. Try not to have too much fun without us, and catch you next week.
Hey guys, in case it wasn't obvious, we here at Marvel Stuff and the Gotham City Rogues podcast do not own any of the IP we talk about. We're just fans having a good time talking about the things we love.